All right, we are going to be starting in Psalm 131. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation for some of it, and then also ESV for others. We're going to bounce around a little bit. So we're going to start in Psalm 131. This is my mom's favorite right now. Right, Ma? And I've been reading it a lot. I've been kind of stuck on it as well. So
131.
Yeah, Psalm 131. And I want to read it in the, let me get to it in the Passion. In the Passion it says, "Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I'm content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not ready to understand. I am humbled and quieted in your presence." This next part is where we're going to focus on. "Like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap, I'm your resting child and my soul is content in you. O people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever." So that one specific verse, "I'm humbled and quieted in your presence, like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap." In the ESV, it says it this way. It says, "I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." My parents and I last weekend went up to a place in Idaho and just to rest and get away. And I was the verses that I'm going to share today are just things that I felt like God was showing me in my heart and things to focus on. So that idea, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I was thinking about like a weaned child. So like a child that doesn't, you know, breastfeed anymore. When that season is over, like I watch kids, you know, there's such a bond that's formed, right? During that first year, year and a half, 2 years between a mother and a child. And there's such like in the Passion, it talks about being contented, right? And so being with God in the way a child is with its mother, knowing that it's secure, knowing that it's known, that it's valued. So I wrote down, identity is solid and unshakable, right? Especially if this was a healthy, like, you know, mother-child relationship. It's not about being fed in that moment. It's not about what you get from the mother. It's from just being, right? It's not, I'm not getting fed from you. It's not that you're giving me milk anymore, but I am just, I'm known. I can be in your presence and just be. Knowing that the child belongs is seen, accepted, known, loved. And I just thought it was really beautiful. David comparing that to a mother and child, you know? And I watch I watch Henry, my nephew, you know, with Jesse, and just times of just, especially when he gets hurt or those kind of things, like, "Mom," right? And it's not that mom can take away the pain, but it's mom can bring comfort. Mom can see you. And there's that relationship with a father too, and he'll go to his dad, but there's these seasons, especially those first few years of just such like, I know where I belong, you know, and like in my mother's arms, it's like whenever I needed something, like especially food and nourishment, it was mom, right? In that moment. And so just picturing ourselves with God, that in his presence, to be content, to just know that we belong, right? And it's not just what we can get from God. It's not just what he can feed us, but it's just being in his presence, that there's a contented, there's a settledness. Our identity is solid. We're not shaken in that moment. So I want to jump to 1 Corinthians 13, the love boat. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Ooh.
Did you say the love boat?
Yeah. The love boat. No, I don't know any of the other words.
That was such a great show.
It's a, they sing part of that in Sister Act 2. That's the only reason I know. Sorry. I don't know if I ever saw The Love Boat. I probably did. I mean, I probably did.
Yeah. When your parents dropped you off and you could watch whatever you wanted and you were watching Golden Girls.
Yeah, exactly. And I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched and Smurfs and all the movies we couldn't see at home. We saw in our grandparents' basement. I'm sure Love Boat came up. I'm sure it did. Actually, I do remember. Yeah, I do remember it. It was like a huge like cruise ship, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a little different than probably the love that was shown on that, but connected. okay. So 1 Corinthians 13, I want to read that whole chapter, starting in verse 4. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4. And we've heard this before, but it bears reminding. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childhood ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So the verse I want to camp out on for just a minute is in verse 12. It says, now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And I want to connect that back to what it, in Psalms, thinking back to that child, right? In the mother's arms, fully known, right? Fully seen, fully accepted. And that's who we are in God's presence, right? And because of that, there are things that we know partially now, but it's saying that through our lives, the things that are partial are going to become more full as we are fully known by God. So going to that place of knowing, when we're settled and resting in the knowledge that we belong to Him, when we know that we are fully known by Him, right? Fully secure, out of that, it helps us to know and continue to pursue relationship with Him, to know that we are going to be able to get to know Him as much as He knows. I mean, not exactly the same level, but we're going to continue to get to know Him more and more. Does that make sense? So that idea of, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And so when we look at love, where that comes from, right? And we look at the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then love your neighbor as yourself. That love flows out of knowing that we're loved, right? So to be loved frees me to love others. Knowing that I'm content in His presence, knowing that I fully belong to Him, knowing that I'm fully known, fully seen, fully accepted, right? Out of that, I continue pursuing in relationship with God. Things that are smaller, right, that I know a little bit now, I'm going to grow in that understanding. And as that understanding grows, I'm going to be able to love more freely, right? So something God gave me a long time ago, and I brought this up before, but loving others is contingent upon my ability to receive love from love Himself.
Can you say that one more time?
Loving others is contingent upon my ability to receive love from love Himself. Right? Like, the only reason I have anything to give is because I've been given. Right? We love Him because He first loved us. And I want to just keep going back to that verse and that image of us as a small child, being able to just let loose, let go. Right? When I see Henry with my sister-in-law, Jesse, he's not feeling like he has to do anything to receive comfort. Right? All he does is he just goes and he sits on her lap, right? And there's just such a bond that they have together. And just watching that is us with God. And the more that we allow ourselves to just be in His presence, right? Then we grow more in our understanding of Him. We grow more in our ability to just receive His love. And then we grow in our ability to then love others. So going from that, I want to jump into Let me make sure I say what I want to say. So I wrote this down. I'm fully known by my creator, father, friend, savior, and lover. My fears, joys, pains, hopes, and dreams are not hidden from his eyes. Right? None of it's hidden. And yet we're so accepted. And that image of there, I remember when, like, there was some time in my journey, my walk with him, that there was this image that God had given me that I needed to be able to just be able to sit on his lap and just be, and just feel comfortable to just be there. And so maybe as you're walking through this next week or whatever, you are just continuing to pursue more relationship, to sit and allow your imagination to show you sitting on God's lap in that way, right? No boundaries that you have to have up. You don't need to be protected. You are fully secure in there. So another thing that God had given me some years back was about joy. And I've said this before, and my joy, I don't know why I keep using the word contingent, but it just keeps popping up in these quotes. My joy is not contingent upon the way I feel or the circumstances I find myself in, because true joy comes from knowing I belong to you and nothing can take that away. So connecting that to that child, just knowing that he belongs or she belongs to that mother, right? I know that I belong to God. And in that, that's where joy comes, right? And I think if we, I believe that joy and understanding joy and pursuing joy frees us up even more to love as well. It's all connected. We really can't separate things, right? We can't say like, okay, like I'm gonna focus on love, but like I have no joy, right? That there's, how do I say that? Life throws a lot of punches, but even if things are not going well, we can still find joy knowing that we belong to him. And I believe that having that connection, understanding that, then love can flow more freely as well. And if we aren't secure in knowing that we're his, that is ultimately it, right? I have no control. I wish I could control Chayton, but I have no control over Chayton, right? I don't know. Just be there. I don't know. There's so much I could do. But I wish that I could control other people's actions, right? I wish that I could control that other people are going to act and live out a certain way. I wish that I could control relationships, right? I wish that I could, I don't know. I just wish that there could be more that I could be involved in that, but I don't. I don't need to try to control God's love because it just is, right? It just is always there and it's always perfect. And although I don't fully understand it, and I think that's going back to, though we now know in part, later we'll know more fully as we're fully known. So God has the upper hand, of course, because he fully knows us. We're going to continue to grow in our understanding of him as we walk with him, right? We're going to understand more how this all works. We're going to understand more and more as we go through life why some things don't work out and other things do, right? And we're going to get to this place where we are in heaven, where we are fully enlightened. I really am excited for that, to not have all these like questions lingering over, but that's not where we are right now. And it's not because God's hiding things from us. It's not because he's just trying to be secretive. Some of that is, it's a journey for us. As we grow, as we have more capacity to understand things, I believe God teaches us, right? As a small little child, you don't understand all that's happening in that moment, right? You don't even understand, like, you know that, like, you need to breastfeed, it's available, but you don't know how all that works, right? You don't understand the sacrifice that it's actually taking for the mother, like, all the, you know, every few hours, and to have that, and the work that it's taking, and sometimes the struggle of a baby latching on, like, you have no knowledge of that. You don't know the sacrifice of that love and that giving, right? You're just there receiving. And as babies grow, as I look back, I'm like, gosh, the sacrifice of my mother who's sitting right here, right? The sacrifice of my father to stick with me for 40 years, right? So parenthood, relationships that have lasted a long time, you know, marriages, you know, Nikki and Aaron, that the sacrifice that it takes, right, to keep relationships alive, right? The sacrifice, that, like, we don't fully always Like, as we grow, we understand more what that person has done to keep it there. Is this connecting? Am I making some sense? And I think with God, we don't understand all that he's doing for us. We don't see the full picture, right? We have lived a lot of our lives just as this baby, like, I need here, and he provides here, I need here. And it's like, as our relationship grows and grows in intimacy, we start to see more how he's been involved and working in our lives. We see more clearly. And it all becomes because we've been fully known, right? We've been secure enough in a place to grow in a relationship. So I want to go to Habakkuk. I just say it both ways each time because I feel it's safer that way. This is towards the end of the Old Testament. I still don't know exactly where, so let me find it. There we are. Shoot.
Oh, okay. Got it. Never mind. Sorry. My bad.
No, you're good. It's not one that I find easily. I have to always go to like the page numbers at the beginning of my Bible. Which page is it? But if I told you that, it wouldn't help you at all. So Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 reads this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the salvation, in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And so in that place, going back to that joy, and that understanding of like, my joy can't just be based upon what's going on in life around me. And though like it does influence, absolutely, but there has to be like, and I'm not saying like this, just this feeling of happiness all the time, right? Like we have other emotions. What I'm saying is this contentment, this settled. So joy is grace recognized. So recognizing that God's grace is for us, that it is ever present, that it is not conditional, right? That me coming into his presence is an open door always. There's access to him completely. That's where joy comes from, right? And there's a celebration, there's a rejoicing that can come from that and recognizing that. And I believe that as we see that and as we embrace the joy of knowing we belong to him, I know that that is so connected to love, right? There's going to be a better flow of love because I'm not consumed by everything else. Though it's influencing me, I'm not consumed by it all, right? I get to be more in the moment because I know that with everything that's going on, I am his. I belong to him. Just like a little child, like little babies know when their mom leaves the room. Even if they're not looking in that direction, there's been times that like the babies will just start crying, right? There is such a bond there. And Nikki, you were bringing up just like one of your great nephews. What do you call him?
He's my great nephew.
Yeah, great nephew. But just you were saying like he's very like he's scared, but he's very content to be by his mom, right? And I remember like me growing up like. You could find me often at the side of my mother, like at church or different places. Like I could go and play, but like often, especially if I was in places that felt insecure, I was right there by my mom. Like just that's where I was because I knew that I was secure and I knew I was content, right? And I knew that I had what I needed there. I had the comfort. What's a blessing for us is that we carry that everywhere that we go with God. Like he really is with us. There's a prayer that like, my brother, Jonathan, has taught my little nephew, Henry, and he has him pray, thank you for loving us and teaching us how to love others. Is that right? And it's like, yeah, that's it. But God is ever present in that teaching us. But I think that all of this, if we go back to the greatest commandments being loving God and loving others, right? And that joy and rejoicing and feeling content, it has to come together. It has to, like, we can't really have one without the other, right? And I think in ways for me in my past, I compartmentalized God, right? And I was like, okay, I was more comfortable with this part of him, right? Or I was more comfortable with like, he's my savior. Awesome. Father for a while, like that was challenging for me. And so working through that, savior as like, you know, a friend and close, like intimacy with Jesus, like some different parts were hard for me in different places in my life. We can't compartmentalize God and then think that we know who he is, right? I can't just take one part of him and say, okay, I'm just going to take, it's only Jesus, right? And then forget about the Father and the Holy Spirit because they're all three one, right? And I think that that's the same thing with us and our connection with him. Joy is important for love to flow. Hope is important to keep us alive and keep moving forward. Faith is important for our connection. And it does say that, you know, where faith and hope and love abide, the greatest of these is love. But they all abide there, right? They're all present. If you were only about doomsday, if you were only about everything that's horrible, hope is not present, right? Like, and I know that hope is like a longing for something greater to come. But if all you can see is the negative in life, or all you can see is what's hurting and what's bad, there's not joy in that. There, because how can you really have hope for something better to come without a feeling of joy and knowing that you're his, right? Because hope in something greater to come comes because I know that he's a good God, and I know that he has good things for his children. And then that is connected to rejoicing and knowing that I'm his, so there's a joy. And that comes from feeling and knowing that I'm loved by him because I'm content and I'm his. And so we really can't compartmentalize all of this stuff and take just parts like, okay, I'm okay with this. We really need to pursue all of it. And we need to start to see how all of it connects. How is hope and joy connected? How is faith and love connected? How is joy a part of that? Right? So that's what I'm processing with all of this. And I feel like really for the last few years, like whenever I come to teach, it's like it's joy and it's love, because those are two of the hardest things for me. You know, like joy is not an easy thing for me. You know, in the midst of things, I get really wrapped up in my head, and God's like, you know, joy, joy, joy. And love, love, love. And love is not easy for me. You know, I can become very judgmental. I'm very hard on myself. I have a hard time, you know, in the past it's getting better, but receiving love from God hasn't always been easy, or receiving love from other people, or not really believing what they're saying. And so these are things I keep coming back to, but I also appreciate how God is helping me to see how they're connected to other things. You know, it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. If we don't have hope in the future, and we don't have hope that there's greater things to come, right? Then in that as well, I don't know if we can have joy. I don't know if we're really experiencing joy if we can't experience hope. I don't know. If I really have faith in God and belief in him, there has to be joy. There has to be joy connected to that, because he's so good. And if I really have faith in that relationship and that he is what he's provided for me, and that grace is, you know, here and free, and I have faith and belief and strong connection with him, joy has to be there. And I know that it's going to grow, and it's going to, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel there, but for us to continue to refocus our minds back to him and to see what doesn't feel like it's there right now. And I'm not expecting myself or any of you guys to fabricate it, right? Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to feel happy. But it really is like think about that little baby. It's not about laughter in that moment, though laughter is great. It's about this joy, is grace recognized? Meaning it doesn't matter what I do, I belong here. Like, isn't that, that's a really crazy thought. It doesn't matter what I've done, I belong here, right? It doesn't matter what my past has been, I belong here. And that's joy, right? Because of faith and knowing that what he says is true and that salvation is mine, then I get to rejoice in that. And knowing who he is and having faith in him, I get to have hope that there's greater things to come because he's a good daddy. Right? And if that greater to come is just growth in me, that's greater. Right? If it's not the huge house on the hill, you know, with 5 bedrooms, but it's knowing that I've grown in my ability to love and receive love, that's greater. And hope is greater is yet to come. And I believe that that's going to be a greater version of me. You know, like there is better to come in me, in who I am. And that is something I can have influence over, right? That's something I can actually have a part in. So hope, faith, joy, love. I don't think we can really have the fullness of each one without the others. And that is not where I started out with the teaching. That is just kind of a realization I'm coming to as I'm telling you. So here we go. Growth as I'm coming through this myself. So I want to just open that up, and what you guys are hearing in that, if there's anything connecting or how you've seen maybe two or a few of those connecting, like where hope and joy connects, or where faith and love, or anyways, what is, where are you seeing those connect? Do you agree? What are thoughts on that?
Anybody?
Sure, I'll go.
Go, Bueller.
No one wants to, I guess I'll talk. No, I think the big thing for me with that overlap of that hope and joy, like I think that when you combine the two of those, like that's where passion is found.
Mm.
You know, so it's like if you're doing something that you're passionate about, like there's going to be joy in that, and it's different for everyone. And then I feel like when you have that like joy, like hope is so much easier and it feels more attainable. You know, like when you're not joyful and like everything's falling apart, like that's when I see people kind of struggle with hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like I think the combination of like hope and joy really like lies within passion. That kind of makes
sense.
I'm muting it.
I'll text Aaron.
I muted.
Or did you?
I muted him.
Okay.
Keep going, Jake.
I think my hope and joy comes from Dolly Parton's Jolene.
Yes.
So that song, or I don't know, the White Stripes cover of it's pretty good too.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Or Joe.
How dare you? How dare you mute me? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I couldn't tell if it was you or just background when the girls were singing. It was a low voice, but
it's the girls. We just got done with snack time.
I love it.
And naps and stuff. So
I love it.
But anyways, yeah. Okay.
Would they
think
Jolene?
So
Jolene is one.
Yeah.
So Chayton, can I ask a follow up question?
I mean, if you want to.
I do.
I can't control you. That's something I learned today.
Dang it. And I know that was a hope for you as well. So connect love to those. So how having hope and joy for you, does that benefit love? Like, how are those connected?
I would say that benefits love. Like, I mean, I'm so far away from you guys. I'm sorry. Let me think about this for a second so I'm not just rambling, you know.
I'm throwing.
So can you rephrase the question, like how does love impact hope and joy, or how does hope and joy impact love?
Really either one. I mean, like, so add in love to that combination. You're talking about joy and hope and that passion, and that's kind of where they overlap. So how would you put in love into that combination?
I mean, I think that over, like, if you want to look at it that way, like the overarching feeling or emotion or thought or whatever you want to call it is love. And I think that most positive and even sometimes negative emotions can come out of love.
Mm.
You know, like love just kind of births so many different things. Like say if I love someone, then I have a passion for that person, right? And then because of that love and passion, when I am around that person, I experience joy.
Mm.
Or if I have a love for something, the passion is birthed out of that, and so on and so forth. And then so for like hope, so like if you're looking like relationally or whatever, like if you love something and you are passionate about something, there is hope for a future. Mm. There is hope for being closer. There is hope for unity, you know?
Yeah. Well done. You took that question and you killed it.
If that resonates, can I get like an amen or something?
Amen.
There we go. Thank you.
Amen.
It's nice to have some interaction.
Anybody else where you see these things? Oh, go ahead, Mom.
Yep. I was just going to say one thing. I was just thinking of the word faith and connecting that with hope. Well, and love also, but faith in a good God who loves me. And even when things are, you know, outside of, oh gosh, now I'm crying, but anyway, outside of your control, you have faith in a good God who promises to work things together for good. And in that, that's in the midst of whatever is going on, in that you have this hope and you can have joy. And it's like opposites, you know, you've got sadness and grief going on, but you still can have this grounded sense of joy that's there. And I find that amazing, you know? Mm. So that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, thanks.